If you're looking for a podcast to give you grown-up eggnog recipes that will knock you on your butt.
Oh, dude. I can send you to not to a podcast, but to a video clip or I can send you there.
But this isn't that podcast.
No, we're not.
This is, however, comedy,
tragedy,
marriage. Welcome to Comedy, Tragedy, Marriage, a podcast where a long-time married couple takes turns each episode selecting a movie, a TV show, or a documentary to watch. We sit down and discuss it after we watched it together, and then we discuss why we either liked it, loved it, or loathed it, and we share that conversation with you. I am Stan the Movie Man. I review films at stanthemovieman.com. I actually went to see a movie this week, didn't review it. At standthemovieman.com, but we'll talk about that later. You can follow me on X/Twitter, Zitter,
X-Twit, whatever,
at Movie Man Stan. You can follow the podcast at CT Marriage. You can also follow me on Spoutable, Threads, and Blue Sky, all at Stan the Movie Man.
That's a lot to keep up with.
Yes, it is. If you have a question you'd like to ask, feel free to do so. You can send that to us via email, comedytragedymarriage@gmail.com. If you have a suggestion for a movie you'd like us to watch, tell us what it is and why you think we should watch it. Again, comedytragedymarriage@gmail.com. If you have a suggestion for another holiday movie of questionable quality, then you can also use that email address, comedytragedymarriage@gmail.com. You can also click the link in the description of this episode and leave us a voice message. Joining me, as always, is my movie picker extraordinaire,
Maud, the of questionable quality broad. I thought we were just going for bad.
Well, bad.
This holiday season, ho, ho, ho.
Well, you see, the whole thing with bad, that's a very subjective term.
Yes, it's subjective.
And we, as I mentioned last week, one person's bad is another person's masterpiece.
Yeah.
And there are movies that are generally accepted as masterpieces. For instance, The Wizard of Oz is considered
it's a classic.
A classic and a masterpiece that at the time when it was released was thought to be too dark for children and not that interesting. So
boy, were they wrong.
So, you know, there's opinions morph and change over time.
Opinions are like bottom holes. Everybody has one and most of them stink. Ah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't say what Leanne Morgan says, you know, regularly in her show, because this is a family program here.
Well, you could also come with armpits.
Yeah,
opinions,
but
opinions are like armpits. Everybody has a couple, and half the time they stink.
All the time they stink.
Yeah. Well, not all the time.
Well, that's why it's bottom holes.
I don't smell. I don't smell.
Okay.
But in a couple of days, I will.
Only if you don't shower.
Only if I don't shower. Boy, ew. We have gone off track.
So far off the rails.
It was your choice this week of a movie to watch, so please inform everyone what we watched.
Okay, so there's backstory here.
Mm-hmm.
I worked one day this week with a substitute because my assistant was out taking some of her early release time that we got for Thanksgiving. So I had a floating library assistant. He's just the coolest dude. His name is Mr. Burns.
Excellent.
And I told him what we were doing as far as the podcast and bad holiday films, and he's like, oh, I can hook you up.
Mm-hmm.
So what he told me is that there is a holiday tradition of sorts in his household.
Uh-huh.
Just him and his wife, because the film that he told me about is not appropriate for children.
That's
shall
true.
We say
that is
so
true.
But he said that the first time he saw it, it just became something that has become an annual tradition. They just have to watch it every year.
It's kind of like our watching of the Vincent Price
Christmas Carol.
The Christmas Carol.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yes.
So, he recommended to me a little gem from 2005 called Santa's Sleigh, S-L-A-Y.
Yes.
See, it's a play on words.
It certainly is.
First, let's go over some of the cast. This film stars WWF/WWE wrestling legend extraordinaire and my favorite boo, Bill Goldberg as Santa Claus slash Mr. Shatan. We also see Douglas Smith as Nicholas Yulson. He's like the teen heartthrob slash hero, whatever. Emily de Ravan, if she is French-Canadian, she plays Mary Mac McKenzie. There are some names in this film, I have to
briefly,
say. Briefly.
Briefly.
Yeah, well, except for Robert Culp. He has a sizable, Oscar-worthy performance.
Okay, let's not go crazy.
As Grandpa Yulson, we also see Dave Thomas, not the founder of Wendy's,
but
the SCTV
right.
Guy as Pastor Timmons. We see Saul Rubinek as Mr. Green, the owner of the deli where Nicholas and Mac both work. Rebecca Gayhart as Gwen Mason, Chris Kattan as Jason Mason, Fran Drescher as Virginia Mason, and an uncredited performance by James Caan as Darren Mason. And it's oh, firecrackers happening outside my house. At least I hope it's firecrackers and not firearms.
Mm.
Anyway, they make a big deal about James Caan being uncredited.
Well, they make no deal about it because he isn't credited. So.
Well, in the wiki, it's uncredited in parentheses, great big. So teenager Nicholas Yulson works in a deli. They live in a place called Hell Township in Canada, and he lives with his grandfather, who's kind of a nut job. He's like a wackadoo inventor, and he's got a bunker, and he's always working on little gadgets and gizmos and things. And he hates Christmas. And Nicholas asks Grandpa why he hates Christmas so much. And Grandpa gets out this old dusty volume known as the Book of Claus. And that reveals the true origins of Santa Claus. Now, apparently, there were two virgin births in the course of history. One with Mary and the Lord, resulting in Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. And then a second one, resulting, which was a virgin and the devil. And that produced an evil entity called Santa Claus. Christmas was the day of slaying for Santa Claus until AD, the year of our Lord, 1005, when an angel defeated him in a curling match. That is a cold weather sport on ice with, you know, things that slide across.
Stones.
Yeah. Stones. So when he got beat in the curling match, the wager was that he had to, for 1,000 years, deliver Christmas presents to good boys and girls for 1,000 years. That means that in the year 2005, Santa Claus is free to do his evil, meanness and deviltry. And so Goldberg is the freshly released out of bet jail, I guess, Santa Claus. And so he goes around town bringing death, destruction, mischief, mayhem, blood, gore, guts, and all manner of evil in his wake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we are.
Yes.
He also drives a sleigh powered by this big woolly white gray dirty sort of, he calls him a hell deer, and
looks like a buffalo.
Looks like a buffalo, bison, something with, you know, like something wrong with his head, kind of animal. They make it, you know, as per the disclaimer at the end of all movies, no animals were harmed in the production of this film masterpiece. And they did want us to be sure and know that prosthetic animals were used in some scenes.
Yes.
Shocking. I thought all the hell deer sequences were completely real.
Well, I think they're talking specifically about where Santa kicks the little fluffy dog.
Maybe. There's a very cute little dog named Maui, who's in the opening sequence of this. Okay, the Masons, who are just the most completely objectionable family ever. They're obviously rich people, very mm-hmm. materialistic.
Mm-hmm. They're selfish.
They're selfish. They're rich and mean, and they're the first family that we see Satan Claus give their just desserts to.
Yes. Wow.
So much to unpack here, and yet so little.
And if Satan Claus had just punished the naughty, then, you know, that would have been fine with me.
Well, yeah, but he's been, like, he's been forced to be nice for 1,000 years. So he's being, like, indiscriminately, like, he's hungry for blood. And so he wants to just kill all the things.
Yes, apparently... Before the bet, there was a night of indiscriminate murder and destruction that he caused that occurred.
The Dog Mort. D-A-G, not dog, D-O-G. Yeah. That would be bad.
And that was his gig from his birth until... the year 1005.
But he just had the one shot. It was just the one day of...
The one night of the year, yeah.
Yeah, and there was also a dog, Glee, which is the day of joy.
Yeah. Well, that's what Dog Mort became, was Dog Glee.
After he lost the bet.
After he lost the bet.
He sucked at curling.
And the grandson of Mr. Yuleson... is reading the book and figures out that this is when the movie is set in 2005, that this is the bet is over, the punishment for losing the bet has ended.
Santa Claus turns mean again this year. Oh my gosh!
And he's always thought his grandfather was insane. And everybody else in town thought his grandfather was insane. But he's this crazy inventor. He's planning for the apocalypse, it seems like, because he's built this underground bunker with this big metal door on it. And, you know, he comes off as like a nutty professor. But... a sweet old man at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out he is something
far more
different than that. And, you know, it's up to this teenage kid and this girl he works with to try to warn everybody in the town, and of course nobody believes him because, you know, Santa Claus is not running around killing everybody.
And,
but
you know,
he is.
And is Santa Claus even real? Like, have your family had that conversation with you yet?
And, you know, the one question is, why is he only in Hell Township? You know, he normally travels around the world delivering toys, so why isn't he traveling around the world killing everybody?
Well,
he just seems to be in this one location, and we find that out later.
That's where Grandpa is, so...
Well
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Grandpa is the key to all of this. But he's, you know... He kills people in imaginative ways.
Imagine, if you will, the owner of a deli, being pinned to a wall with the center candle, of a menorah known as the shamash, going through his throat. And he's pinned to the wall with a
Yes.
menorah. I think that that has got to be sacrilegious.
Look, pretty much every second of this movie is
That's
sacrilegious.
true. So many ways this movie is not for children. A, we have language. B, we have a scary parody of Santa Claus. I mean, like, I love Goldberg, okay, as the wrestler Goldberg. Here, not so much. He's frightening. His outfit is gross. His hair is gross. His beard is gross. Everything about him is gross. Secondly, well, thirdly, we have a strip bar with exposed breastises, lots of big fake implants.
There's several topless women who are shown in the film at this strip club. We
And the
also,
preacher's giving them money, sticking it in their what clothes they do have on.
yes, they're garters. We also have a preacher who is strictly in it for the money, so that he can spend it on strippers.
Shocked, I say. I'm simply shocked.
Yes. And you know, there's one of the first people we meet in the movie is aside from the rich family who is disposed of quickly, is this very grouchy, mean old woman who goes into a deli,
She's actually funny.
and she has a filthy mouth,
Swears like a sailor.
and she's completely objectionable in every way. Nothing makes her happy. She is
Really funny.
she's yes, her just the fact that this little sweet looking old woman who is just awful is cursing all the time. And she is disposed of by Santa. And you found it amusing
Yeah.
that she,
I'm a horrible person.
yes, she's she yeah she's awful.
She's awful.
But you know, okay, this is a terrible, terrible movie
As
on so many levels.
yeah, as the okay, I'm gonna go ahead and spoil because it's an 18-year-old film and it's bad, so when the credits, before the credits start, Goldberg the wrestler looks up and he's looking over the naughty list and he says, "Who's next?" Which was always his
I thought
tagline
that
as a
was at the end
wrestler.
of the
Maybe
credits.
it was, I don't know. And I'm so bleary-eyed and addled and altered at this point, I can barely remember my own name. Anyway, when the bulk of the actual film was over and the credits started to roll, I said, "This was wretched. This film is terrible.
It's pretty awful.
It's awful. It's only like an hour and 18 minutes, and I felt each second so
I
dreadful."
gotta say, you know, it is awful to watch in a way that's also fun. There are some laughs in
One
it.
must watch it ironically.
Yes. There are some laughs in it. Some of the kills are pretty entertaining if you are like that kind of thing. You know, a lot of the people who get killed
Have it coming.
deserve to be killed
Yeah, they have it coming.
because they are so awful.
People suck. That's why we hate them. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah.
Shabbat Shalom. But I'm sure I said that wrong and I apologize.
Actually, you did not.
But it is object. I mean, the special effects
Oh, they were stunning.
are amateurish at best.
They were stunning.
The
Stunningly bad.
The script is, I think they were trying to write their version of Airplane
I think that it
with
was
some of the.
all improvised and they just kind of gave them bullet points and said, okay, go. We're off to get a sandwich and we'll be back.
I don't think so. I think this was written down.
Oh my God.
And they had to study and remember the lines.
You got to write this.
I am sure that they also had some free rein, so there was probably some improvisation.
Rain, because reindeer, get it?
Yeah, I wasn't going there.
Sorry.
The humor is juvenile.
Juvenile, bathroom, lowest common denominator, puns. Actually, puns are... puns is charitable. It's very lowbrow,
yes,
shall we say.
And the story, the flow of the story doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Story?
Well, mm-hmm. You know, and why is Santa
Satan Claus.
Satan Claus just in this one place, which we eventually find out, but when he could be creating so much havoc all over the world.
Well, all roads lead to Grandpa.
True.
So there's that.
But you know, and this is. I don't know what the director and writer. David Steinman had, or Steinman had.
I'm surprised
on,
it wasn't Alan Smithy.
Well, no, I think this guy
Did
was
you
proud
just...
of this. Shush. I think this guy was proud of his work.
Oh, gosh. That's terrifying.
And I thought there would be more. I thought there would be, like, sequels to this. Even though it was
more
a,
installment, what?
Yes.
No,
because there's, there's the thing at the end where he's getting on the airplane, going to fly back to the North Pole because his hell beast is gone.
Yeah.
But that implies that he's around for yet another, year and was going to come back and going to continue to create havoc. I have not found any sequels to this. Not that I'm upset by that.
They may have left the door open and then workshopped it a little bit and thought, maybe not.
there's just so much wrong with this movie, and yet I kind of liked it. I kind of enjoyed it, let me put it that way.
I have to ask you, with my first choice for this year's theme of holiday, have I caught the spirit that you intended?
Well, sure. I mean, these, my idea was that we would watch holiday films that are considered not necessarily very good. And this movie certainly fits that bill. This movie is not very good.
It's wretched.
It is, and we paid money for it, for goodness sakes.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to learn by negative examples and negative reinforcement. And so this is $4 and 78 minutes that we can never, ever retrieve.
Excuse me, true.
That was a sad attempt at a burp. I'm so verklempt I can't even belch.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting. Wow.
It is
so bad.
Terrible.
You're welcome.
And I think this perfectly fits the bill for the kind of thing I was talking about.
I don't think every
Christmas-themed horror movie is going to do that, and I don't plan on selecting another Christmas-themed horror movie
like this. Well, and this I think was described as a dark slasher comedy.
Yes.
Which what? But I do owe a solid to my friend Mr. Burns. Excellent
Excellent. Yeah.
for suggesting it because I had no idea this thing even existed, and now I do. So there we have it.
Yes, he he did good. And if he has any more suggestions, that's fine too.
I don't know if I can handle any more suggestions from Mr. Burns.
Well, you know, and here's the thing.
Unless, it's I don't know, maybe I don't know.
Here's the thing with my theme of holiday movies of questionable quality. Pretty much anything on Hallmark, I am going to think of as questionable quality, and you watch them just to relax.
Yeah, and I've actually got one to talk about when we move to the next portion of the the interview round, I guess.
That you can call it a show, such as it is.
Okay. Some I mean they're are they deep, intense, thought-provoking things on Hallmark? Usually not so much. That being said, sometimes they are quite pleasant, not vapid, as one would expect all Hallmark things, to be now, particularly with people like the Holderness family doing Hallmark movie parodies, which they're hilarious. If you haven't looked them up, look up the Holderness family, and you might want to do, the Holderness family Hallmark movies.
Holderness.
Yes.
Okay, is that would be that on YouTube or is that on
I
Facebook
don't
or?
know if they've shown up in my Facebook feed. They may be doing TikToks now. YouTube, I don't know.
Okay.
Just Google them.
All
Just
right.
do a Google. The Google knows all.
Yeah. Santa Slay is
Santa Slay sucks.
Sure. It
What, am I
has
wrong?
no, you're not.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
It actually got a few positive reviews, and granted, this is a direct-to-video
Oh, thank God people
release.
didn't go to the theaters to
Yeah,
see
nobody
this
had to pay
thing.
money other than to rent this or
Woof.
buy it, which cost a lot more than going to the movies. But Randall Coburn from the AV Club gave the film a positive review, calling it simultaneously vulgar and wholesome, stupid and satirical, violent and lighthearted. Todd Martin of HorrorNews.net also liked the film, writing, "It isn't perfect, and there are times when it's a little too corny for its own good, but overall, it's just a fun, brainless movie that has a ton of violence in it."
It is brainless.
The film was not without its detractors, though. John Condit from Dread Central, which is a genre-focused website, was highly critical of the film, giving it 1.5 out of 5 stars. In his review, Condit criticized the film's writing and direction as being sloppy and amateurish, and also criticizing the abrupt ending.
'Cause it sucks.
Well, there's that.
Yes.
So, pray tell. What rating do you give Santa's Sleigh?
I think that 1.5 was generous. I give this minus 11 T hell beasts with gas.
Okay.
It's the living room smells so bad because this movie stunk so hard. It sucks.
I didn't completely hate it. I'm giving it, I mean, it's awful. It is legitimately
So
awful,
awful.
but I'm going to give it 2 stars out of 5. It is silly and occasionally funny, and some of the kills are good. So yeah.
Oh, it was so horrible.
Also, for the guys,
Boobies.
breasts. Yeah, there's some breasts in it. So, that also, that gives it half a point
Yeah,
just right there.
I see that pushes it below the bar for me. Because they're not only fake, but they're bad fake. But I mean, for a guy, I guess a breasticle is a breasticle.
Well, there are bad-looking fake breasts, and there are good-looking fake breasts, and I was perfectly happy with the quality of those breasts.
Well, I'm glad to know that now. as I scrub my eyeballs with Comet.
Well, there's no need to do that. But yeah, it's not good.
I mean, even Goldberg wasn't hot here.
Well, no, because other than when he took off his shirt or his jacket and you could see his arms, he's fully clothed the entire time.
And he's despicable.
Well, there's that too, but he was despicable wrestling at points.
Sometimes he was a heel, yeah.
And in the real world of wrestling, he hurts people by accident. But he's been known to hurt people because he's a bit sloppy in the ring.
I think he's probably retired by now.
Well, by now he is.
But back in the day.
Well, and when he came back to WWE some years ago, maybe 10 years ago, you know, people were saying,
watch out for this guy. He'll hurt you.
He needs to be more careful about how he does the bumps because he's hurting people. But that's also beside the point.
Yeah.
So Santa's sleigh.
S-L-A-Y.
Yes, is an abomination in many ways. But depending on your mood and your taste, or lack thereof, it may not be the worst thing you've ever seen, but it certainly won't be the best.
It may benefit from being intoxicated. I don't know.
Or otherwise chemically altered.
And, well, you know, intoxication covers all the chemicals.
Yeah. So. So Santa's sleigh, view at your own risk. What
really
else
bad.
Have you been watching, listening to, reading? So on, so forth.
Okay, so I watched a Hallmark movie via our Peacock streaming service. Hallmark is one of the hubs, so I was able to find a 2013 movie called Window Wonderland. Basically, the plot is there's a department store window decorator who not only leaves the store abruptly, but she takes all her sketches and ideas and stuff with her, which leaves her position open, and there are two people vying for it. Ooh, competition. It stars Kyler Lee, Paul Campbell, Naomi Judd, bless her sweet soul, a bunch of other people, and Cameron Matheson, who is just despicable as
the store manager?
No. He's the rich boyfriend who turns out sort of not to be a thing because he's snooty and anyway, Kyler Lee and Paul Campbell play the competing window dressers who you know, are in competition with side-by-side windows at Meguiar's department store, which has a 95-year history of stellar, beautiful, perfect holiday windows that drive people in and drive up their sales and are artistically beautiful and meaningful and are a huge part of the whole big city's Christmas celebration. Boy meets girl, boy competes with girl to see who wins the window decorator job. Misunderstandings and romance ensues, and it was really lovely. I enjoyed it. It was not vapid. It was more complex than your typical Hallmark film usually gets credit for. I enjoyed it tremendously, and I thought it was very good. I love Kyler Lee anyway. You would recognize her from Grey's Anatomy. She was in a limited series I watched several months ago in the fall called The Way Home, which is getting a second season. It also starred Andie MacDowell as Kyler Lee's character's mother. There is time travel involved and a magic pond. But anyway, that's The Way Home, and I'm anxiously awaiting season two, which I think drops in January. And don't ask me what streaming service, because I don't know.
I think that was also on Peacock.
Might have been. I don't know.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Google Kyler Lee, The Way Home, and you can find where it's going to be. But this was a delightful movie, fluffy enough to provide relaxation and warm fuzzies, but not so fluffy as to be completely empty-headed. So, and yesterday while you were out watching the movie that you didn't review, I revisited a Christmas classic that I, once I found that it was available for streaming, I revisit it every year. It's from the holiday season, 1983, called The Gift of Love, A Christmas Story, stars Lee Remick, Angela Lansbury, and Polly Holiday, among others. It is a mystical fable sort of tale of a woman who is depressed and overwhelmed, and she has a mystical experience that helps her to realize what the holidays are all about and what life is all about. It's a beautiful film. Yes, it's from 1983, so it's dated looking. It was originally produced and aired on CBS. I found it on Tubi with commercials, but there are several places where you can stream it.
Mm-hmm.
So I revisited that yesterday afternoon and got all up in my feelings.
No.
So, yeah.
Anything else?
You
reading
no.
anything new?
I'm not. And I may not be able to finish Captain Picard's memoir. I may need to table that for maybe after the first of the year. We'll see.
Well, you've got a busy week or
I've got stuff going on.
Coming
yeah,
up, so.
I've got stuff going on.
You and I watched the 1977 TV movie presentation of Our Town.
Yes.
It aired on NBC in 1977. Of course, it is Thornton Wilder's play of the same name about the citizens of a small town called Grover's Corners. And their lives between 1901 and 1913. Now, we watched it on a DVD that you brought from the library.
Yes.
And that particular DVD has two versions of Our Town on it. One of them from 77, and one of them from 88, I believe.
It's over here in the crack-a-lunch
right
somewhere. 1989.
The one we watch stars Hal Holbrook as a stage manager. It also has Ned Beatty, Barbara Bel Geddes, Robbie Benson, Ronnie Cox, Glynis O'Connor, Seda Thompson, Charlotte Ray, William Lantau, John Houseman in a brief scene, and more.
Really, really stellar cast.
Yeah. Now that scene with Houseman where he's giving the background, the
information about Grover's Corners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually cut from the original NBC version.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm glad we got that.
And it was put back in for the release on DVD. Also, the stage manager gives the wrong latitude and longitude coordinates for Grover's Corners at the beginning of the play. The coordinates cited, are actually in Massachusetts, about 1,000 feet off of the coast of Rockport.
Oh, okay. Well.
That's irrelevant. It's a look back at a time when things were slower. There wasn't anything like the internet or social media or even television. Radio wasn't that widespread or maybe not even out at all at the time.
This time frame comes on the cusp of horse and buggy to Ford automobiles.
Yes. It's pre-World War One.
Home delivery of dairy
Yes.
and, you know, the kid throwing the newspapers, which, you know, in some places still actually happens,
Yes.
but
For those people that still actually read a
it's
newspaper.
just past the turn of the 19th to the 20th century.
Yes. And it's about the lives of these people, the things that are important to them, their families growing up. The sets are minimal, and like they use sound effects to replace the idea of a kid throwing a baseball in a mitt or the tinkling of the empty milk bottles as the dairyman takes out the empty bottles and brings in the full bottles.
Yeah, because the sets are minimal and it was produced without props.
Yes.
So like they're pretending to pour the coffee and they're
Yes.
pretending to drink the tea and they're
Yes.
pretending
To make the breakfast and the dinner and
yes.
everything else.
Really
And
effective, I thought.
I did too. About the only thing they have are tables and chairs. And it is a look back at a time that is gone for the most part in America. And when, families ate together and they talked about their day, what the kids did in school and the latest gossip because the church organist was an alcoholic, who's pregnant and who's sick and who's getting married, and all of that. And it's a sweet and sad play.
It's very poignant. The big takeaway from our town for me is whether a person dies and is given the opportunity to go back to the best day of their life or the worst day or a Tuesday, the most unremarkable day, the takeaway seems always to be the same, that it just goes by so fast and why don't we notice it when it's happening? And in that regard, that's the ultimate takeaway for me, and I think that's part of the reason that this play is an American classic of stage and screen.
So, now we haven't watched the
The 89 version
89
yet.
version.
I want to, though, before I take the DVDs back.
And we'll let you know about that one.
Did you
I've
like
never
it?
seen Our Town.
I watched the 1940 version, I think, with a very young William Holden, and the ending of that one was altered. The ending to this one was not, and I won't say altered how, but I was very impressed with this 1977 production. It was beautiful.
It was very moving. So, if you can find it on DVD, and actually,
Yeah, I don't know if we were able to find it streaming anywhere or not. That's maybe why I brought the DVDs home. Or I may have just gone looking for them and like, oh, okay, here, I'll grab that.
you can well if you it says rent slash buy on Amazon on IMDb,
Oh, okay.
but that may be the DVD. So
It may be.
anyway, was nominated for 7 Emmy Awards and won one.
What was the Emmy that it won for?
Outstanding achievement in tape sound mixing.
Okay.
Oh wait, that it was a nominee. No, outstanding individual achievement in any area of creative technical crafts.
Oh, okay.
So,
It was really good.
yeah, it was. So if you've ever been interested in watching Our Town, then by all means, this 1977 version is well worth the watch.
And we circle back because Our Town was very prominently featured in Ann Patchett's latest novel, Tom Lake. Mm-hmm. So another shout out for Tom Lake. Read it. It's glorious. It's a beautiful novel. So
you and I watched True Crime Story Citizen Detective on AMC Plus.
These are good.
These are stories of family members who are dealing, or sometimes even strangers, who are dealing with the aftermath of a murder that was not properly investigated. Or, you know, just reached a dead end. Mm-hmm. And either the family or citizen detectives get involved and start doing data mining, essentially. And in some cases, solve the murders. In other cases, they identify these unidentified victims. And in some cases, they do neither. Now, you saw the first two or three episodes of this?
I saw the first one for sure, and I think maybe fell asleep midway through the second one.
Not because it was boring.
No, just because Maud's exhausted.
Yeah. But it's a six-episode series that originally aired on Sundance Channel, I believe, and is now being streamed on AMC+. There's a whole series of true crime story shows about various topics. But I was particularly interested in this one because one of the episodes, the last, is about a guy named Josh Hallmark who has a podcast called True Crime Bull Bleep. Only it's not bleep. And he has been for the last five seasons of this podcast investigating the crimes and victims and trying to identify the unknown victims of a serial killer named Israel Keyes.
Oh, gosh.
Who traveled all over the country and would hide what he called kill kits. They were 5-gallon buckets like you'd get at Home Depot.
It was his murder kit.
Yeah, and they would contain weapons,
restraints.
Tools for breaking in, restraints, and various other items.
Gloves, I'm sure.
Gloves, probably some cash because he was also robbing banks at the time.
Well, sure.
And he would bury these in different places around the country so that when he came back to that area, he knew he had the tools he needed to abduct and murder somebody. They only know of three for certain victims, but he claimed 13 or 14, I believe, and there may be a whole lot more.
Oh, I'm thinking probably way more than that.
So I was very interested in seeing that episode, and it really didn't give me anything new that I hadn't already heard on the podcast.
But the other episodes were interesting.
The other episodes were very interesting. So if you're interested, True Crime Story, Citizen Detective, it's available to stream on AMC+. And I went to the movies yesterday and watched, or not yesterday, I went to the movies recently and went to see Godzilla Minus One. This is a Japanese-produced Godzilla movie. It's not a guy in a suit. It is CG.
It's a real Godzilla?
It is a CG Godzilla. The Toho company, who owns the rights to Godzilla in Japan and all over the world, made this film. They were the original company that made the other Godzilla films.
No Godzillas were harmed in the filming of this motion picture masterpiece.
Well, not till the very end. It's set at the end of World War II in Japan. A pilot who was supposed to do a kamikaze run but chickened out and landed on a island in the Pacific where there was a repair base. He feels guilty about not carrying out his mission, but he just couldn't do it. And while he's on that island, Godzilla attacks the island. He is told to get in his plane and use his 20-millimeter gun to shoot Godzilla, but he freezes up and can't do it because he's so scared, because he sees what kind of power Godzilla has, and everybody else except one other guy and him on the island are killed. And he has guilt over that. He feels responsible for that. He eventually gets back to Japan. He starts to rebuild a life. He meets a woman who has this child, and she's accused of stealing something, I guess to feed the child. But she's running through, and she hands him the baby, and then she runs off. And so he's got this baby that's not his, doesn't even know the child's name. But then the woman comes out of hiding after a little while and said,
Wants her baby back.
well, it's not her baby either.
Oh.
She was given the child by a woman in a bomb shelter who was injured and dying.
Oh.
So, not his wife, not her baby, not his baby.
Wow.
But they all live together in this little shack, and he gets a job clearing mines out of the harbors for the government, which pays very, very well because it's very,
It's
very
dangerous
dangerous work.
work.
And he, he's able to build a house, and Japan is rebuilding after the war. And then Godzilla comes back. And it's one of the few Godzilla slash kaiju movies that where the people are not in the way of the story. The recent ones produced in America, Godzilla and Godzilla versus Kong and Godzilla King of the Monsters and all of that. The humans are just there to look on in awe and do exposition dumps. They're to move the story along. They have no purpose really in the story. Whereas the parallel stories between Godzilla and these
This little
survivors,
family.
this little ad hoc family, was really interesting and made sense, and you see how one affects the other, and it's an incredibly well done movie.
Oh, that's good.
It is supposed to have a budget of $15 million, which is nothing for a big, for a big special effects laden movie. And I've heard a quote from the director, who said, "I wish I had $15 million." So he has produced a marvel that looks good, is good, story's interesting, the people in the story interesting, and it's a very entertaining film. It's getting a relatively wide release, so if you have an opportunity to see it, it is subtitled, but you can read it real quick and then go back up in the screen. It's not like when you read a subtitled TV show, because since the
If the
screen doesn't,
captions are janky.
well, it, but because the screen occupies so much more
Real estate.
real estate in front of your eyes, you can just quickly read it and then go back up and still get the emotion and the meaning and all of that. So, Don't let subtitles get in your way. Godzilla Minus One is, I think, one of the better movies out this year.
Cool.
So give that a shot.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Godzilla Minus One, it is playing in theaters now. So I guess that's it.
Next week, it's your turn to pick
Yes,
a
it
bad
is.
Christmas movie
And
or bad holiday film.
I have made a choice already. Yes.
Oh.
We will be watching the Tom Hanks, not Tom Hanks.
That other Tom that I don't like.
I had boy, his name was running through my head earlier, and now it's just completely gone. This is when I get worried. Tool Time, Tim the Toolman
Tim
Taylor,
Allen.
Tim Allen. Jeez, I don't know where that went, but anyway, Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis in Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay. All righty then.
So it is that is our cho my choice for
We
next week.
think this is a bad movie?
Yeah.
We've heard it's bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty then.
Please join us for that. Thank you for joining us for this meandering, rambling episode of Comedy Tragedy Marriage. We appreciate it. Please give us a follow on wherever you subscribe to your podcast, and if you can do that on Spotify, that helps us out the most. If you have a suggestion for something you'd like us to watch, or a suggestion for a holiday movie of questionable quality, by all means, please send that to us via email, comedytragedymarriage@gmail.com. I'm Stan the Movie Man. That's Maude the Movie Broad. Love you.
Love you.
And until next time,
Later.
later.